Thanks for checking out the Lakeshore Podcast. If this is your first time listening with us, we want you to know God loves you. We want for your hope in Jesus to be renewed and for your faith to come to life. Wherever you are joining us from, we hope this message encourages you.
We need to understand that we really want to make sure that we're doing it right. We live in a culture that is becoming more and more confused about relationships, about family structures, about identities, about roles and responsibilities, and especially those that are God-given, God-designed, and how He set things up. And one of those things, those roles that we're talking about is the role of a mom. One of the things that makes it so special around the globe is that literally everybody has a mom. Everybody has a mom. And so we all recognize that at certain times. And there's this connection that happens between moms and their children that it just doesn't seem to happen with any other relationship, including dads. I mean, I love my children. I think we have a deep relationship. But there's something very special after a woman has carried a baby in her womb for 9 months. There's something very special about the nurturing and the mothering that God ordains. And there's a connection there that we don't quite understand. We just know that it's real. In fact, history is proof enough. If we didn't have anything else, history's proof enough that every person on the planet has been impacted in some way. Good, bad, indifferent. Everybody's been impacted by their mom. You can pick up biography after biography of men and women that have left legacies and made great contributions to the earth. And they turn around. One of the first things they do, they give credit back to their moms. And so we really, really appreciate it, and we honor that. I think it goes up to another level when you're a Christian, because you realize this is not just a biological role. It's not just a social structure in the family, but this is a divine and a sacred role that God gives that comes with sacred responsibility and a sacred grace and a connection with that as well. But we also want to recognize from a Christian viewpoint that we're celebrating moms today with an awareness and a sensitivity that we live in a world that has been impacted and broken in sin. And so I want to share a few categories of moms that are in our heart as a staff. Been thinking about you. We've been praying for you for several weeks now. And so here's who I'm talking to today whenever I use the term mom. Of course, I'm talking to those of you that are married and have children, and your family is a lockstep and complete. But I'm also talking this morning to single moms, to those that maybe are raising your children on your own. And whether that's literally on your own or you're a single mom because you're the only believer in the family and you struggle, you work really hard to infuse Bible values and good solid moral standards into your home, we're very sensitive to you this morning. We recognize that. I want to also talk to anyone who stepped into the role of a mom. And so I might be talking to a grandmother who's raising her grandchildren, or to an aunt, or to a friend or a sister or a foster mom, and anybody who stepped in and filled a vacancy so the life of a child can be better and the life of a child can grow strong and straight the way God wants them to. I want to talk to moms this morning who, for whatever reason, are estranged from your kids. And I don't know what age your children are, but for whatever reason, the relationship is not what you hoped, not what you dreamed, not what you wanted, and that you may not even have a relationship with them right now. And I want you to know that we're carrying you in our heart this morning. We've been praying for you, and we are standing right next to you as we believe God on your behalf. And finally, perhaps the most difficult, I want to talk to moms that are dealing with the sadness and at times the despair of having lost a child, or having had miscarriages, or maybe a mom who that's been your lifelong dream, but you're still struggling with infertility. I want you to know that we're carrying with you a promise of God, and we believe God on your behalf, and we're sensitive to you today, and we love you, and we're standing with you. We believe we serve a God that does the impossible. And I want to remind every one of your moms, no matter where you're at today, that your body is not the most fertile part of you. Your soul, your spirit is the most fertile part of you, because that's where faith is born. That's where dreams can be resurrected. That's where a hope in a living Savior can come back and rise over and over and over again. And that's where God commits himself and makes his promises to meet you in the deepest part of who you are. And I want you to know we're standing with you and we're believing God, speaking promises like Zechariah chapter 9, verse 12 that says, he will restore to you whatever's been stolen. Whatever's been broken, he's keeping an account. You belong to him and he'll restore that. How about Psalm 37, verse 4 that says that, if you'll delight yourself in the Lord, that God knows and God will fulfill even the smallest and the most secret desire of your heart. He cares about those things. And so we're standing with you this morning. And so at the end of the message, let me just kind of give you a preview of where we'll end up this morning. I'm going to ask every mom that fit any of those categories to stand to your feet. And then I'm going to ask those that have accompanied you to service this morning that they would begin to surround you. If you're here by yourself, don't worry. We're a family here. Nobody stands alone, and so we'll have people that are standing with you as well. But we're going to be speaking and believing God on your behalf. And we're going to do something very spiritual, but it also has some very practical and relevant application. And so I ask you to turn to Proverbs chapter 31, because this morning I'm going to talk to you about a spiritual spa day. A spiritual spa day. Now, I'm not trying to be cute with the metaphor. It is very applicable, and you're going to see that Scripture fits what we're going to be learning about and what we're going to be doing today. But I do want to ask for grace for all of you moms and maybe all of you ladies. I'm a guy, and I'm kind of from another generation, and so I'm absolutely confident in these Bible truths. But I maybe need a little grace on the spa thing because I don't do that very often, and so. If I don't get it exactly right, just go with me and stay with the Bible truth anyway. This is really, really important. Proverbs chapter 31, some of you that have been in church for a while might have saw that coming because it details the descriptions of a lady that we might be tempted to say is a real life superwoman. I mean, this lady just seems to be hitting the target spot on in every area. And so starting around verse number 10 and all the way to verse 24, it details the characteristics of what we would look at and say, now that's what it means to be this ideal wife, to be this ideal mom, to be this ideal homemaker. And she even stacks on top, and she's a business owner and generating income. I mean, this lady does it all, and she does it all at the very tip-top level. But then it begins around verse number 25, and it stops focusing so much on what's happening on the outside, and it shifts to begin to talk about what's happening inside of this lady. Begins to talk about her qualities and where her qualities come from, why she's able to do the things that she's able to do. And here's what I really want to focus on this morning. It also gives us a line or two about our responsibilities that are family members that live inside of the circle of these hardworking, influential moms. So husbands, if you're here this morning and your wife is a mom, then it's going to talk to you about your part to play. And how you continually strengthen and fortify those inner qualities and areas of her life and children, everybody from kindergarten all the way up to your teenage years. It's going to talk about not only your responsibility to recognize what mom's bringing to the table and what she's done for your life, but your responsibility to contribute to that. Not only for mom's betterment, but for your betterment as you turn at some point and step into adulthood. So all of this is very, very practical, but it's really important that we recognize that this is the way God set it up. And listen carefully, it really works. I don't mean just inspirationally or just in a religious sense. This works on every level. In fact, I'll challenge you to pick up any book on relationships, sacred or secular, and go and you won't find the same principles we're about to unfold because God originated them and they work every time. So I want to encourage you to listen up, and then at the end of service, we're going to engage this together. Proverbs chapter 31, I'm going to start in verse number 25. Again, this is about the inner qualities of this incredible lady that Proverbs 31 is talking about. It says, she is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. When she speaks, her words are wise, and she gives instructions with kindness. She carefully watches everything in her household and suffers nothing from laziness. Okay, now watch this. Her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her. And in case you were wondering what they might say, he just tells you. This is what they say. There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all. In other words, they're saying, you're the best. You're the best. That's not flattery. They've learned to identify some things and to call those things out that are making their family, making their personal lives what they are. And they say, man, you're the best. Listen to the last verse. Here's why. Because charm is deceptive and beauty does not last. But a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. It's really interesting to me in the culture we live in, what I don't read in this passage, it's not talking about a woman who's highly educated, although that's a wonderful thing. A woman who is, you know, is dedicated and skilled, although that's a phenomenal thing. A woman who's got charisma and just knows, and although that's wonderful, it's great stuff. It says it hangs everything on the success, everything on the well-being and the family being able to turn around at points and say, wow, you're awesome. You're the best ever. All of that hinges on this lady who deepens her relationship with the Lord, who reverences and fears God. And the Bible says that she will be greatly praised. Now we have a world and a culture that emphasizes things that are on the outside. In fact, I've talked to many people that were excited about and dedicated to Facebook, and then some have since left because of the subtle pressure, because of the disingenuousness that happens. I'm not saying everything on Facebook's like that, but the world that Facebook props in front of us is not real. And social science, secular social science, is coming to an ironclad statistic, and that is that while social media allows us to stay in touch, and there are wonderful benefits, and we certainly enjoy so many of those, there's another dark side to it that I'm not sure that any of us are really aware, and it's eroding a part of our culture because it's creating this pressure, it's creating this dissatisfaction, this feeling like I can never be enough, I can never measure up. Somehow on my best day, somebody's doing it better and somebody's doing it bigger and brighter, and it just causes us to get off gear. But the Bible tells us that the real strength and the real beauty that a woman can tap into is not something that happens on the outside. It's something that grows on the inside of them, and it grows and becomes more and more beautiful over time. Here's a few things that I've noticed that the Bible either alludes to or points directly to. It talks about the beauty of wisdom that can be seen in wrinkles. That's not popular in our culture. We're fighting hard to not get those, and some are, you know, visiting clinics to get rid of those. But it says that, no, that there's a beauty that's seen because wisdom and experience oftentimes are told by the wrinkles that appear. It means that rather than living in this here today, gone tomorrow, whatever's convenient and comfortable, that there are people that have anchored down and have weathered the storms, have trusted God, and have proven over the test of time that I will not be pulled away. And that takes its toll, but it shows up in the lines, and it shows up in the way that we reflect on the outside. How about the beauty of a body that's been changed forever because you were willing to let another human being grow inside of you? And because of that, you're never the same again. But you did it not only willingly one time, you did it over and over again. And that's a testimony of what the Lord says is a beautiful thing. How about the beauty of those occasional dark circles that in our culture you can hide them with makeup, and you know we don't fault you for that. But usually they're a sign of extended hours and maybe all-nighters that are put in because you have a little one in the house who's having trouble sleeping, or someone's not feeling well, and you're the one who sits by their bedside and prays and keeps comforting them all night long. And here's the last one that I tend to think about. What about the beauty of chipped nails and weathered hands? We don't think about that kind of stuff because, again, we live in a culture that pushes comfort and convenience. But there's 1,001 tasks, 1,001 chores That requires somebody that can roll up their sleeves and just get the job done. And most of the time, nobody ever sees that. Most of the time, it's just this miracle that laundry's already done and, you know, the household keeps moving forward and someone's working an outside job and bringing that income. And there's so many things that we can recognize. We could go on and on. But all of these are the characteristics of what the Bible calls a beautiful life, a life that's well invested, a life that is giving itself away for the betterment of those around them and that will leave a legacy for the kingdom once they're gone. And so, moms, let me just thank you again today from the bottom of my heart. And we're going to make a little shift here. And I want you to imagine, if you would, with me that there's a big chair in back of me. And if I could sit each one of you up here and just make you queen for a day. Because from this point on, I want you to listen in. I want you to learn some things. But from this point on, I'm really going to talk to everybody in the sanctuary who's not a mom. I'm going to talk to husbands. I'm going to talk to dads. I'm going to talk to sons. I'm going to talk to all of the children that are in here who have a mom represented. And while they're sitting up in the metaphorical chair, I want you to listen to what the Bible says that we're supposed to be doing to be a blessing and to be a strength and a help for these moms. In fact, there's three spiritual truths and keys that I'm going to point out to you today. These are not just for today, but they're every day. And I hope that you'll engage and you'll be blessed by those. Number one. Now, this is a spiritual spa day, okay? Give me grace. Number one, always begin with a soothing spiritual bath. Always begin with a soothing spiritual bath. Now, let me put some practicality to that. I'm sure that you all know we live in a really dirty and a really dusty world. I mean, in every area of life. I don't think there's anything that's excluded that the things, the challenges, the difficulties of life don't touch. And we are regularly in need of being cleansed. We're regularly in need of being refreshed and regularly in need of being revitalized. Now, admittedly, okay, I'm not just a guy. I'm a guy from another generation. So whenever I get like that in a very, you know, practical way, just give me a bar of zest and a hot shower and I'm at 100% again. But I live in a household with three ladies. I grew up with all brothers. I live in a household with three ladies, and I've learned that there is a whole department store full of different kinds of moisturizers and shampoos and conditioners and other products. And listen to me, they're not haphazard. They can tell you each one of those is for a certain type of hair and a certain color and a certain skin condition at a certain season of the year and et cetera. And the list goes on and on. My head spins. But I can tell you the counter is just lined, and I got my bar of zest and I'm heading for the shower and I'm good to go. But as much as that can be fun to look at, here's the reality. The reality is when it comes to restoring and caring for the inner life of a person, there's times when things can get really dry. There's times when things can experience a harshness that particular individual struggles to handle. Maybe the other person, no, that's not my deal. I'm fine with that. But this particular person needs some tender, loving care. They need to be able to get the right kind of treatment. Let me read to you what Ephesians chapter 5 says, verse 25 and 26. It's talking to husbands, but the principle is much more broadly applied and repeated in other places. But here's what it says. For husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. Now that's what to do. Here's how to do it. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. In John 17, we see another reference to this, to God's word being a cleansing agent when Jesus is praying over his disciples. And one of the things that he says to his father, I've given the word to them, I've spoken the word over them, and now I'm praying that that word would sanctify and wash and would cleanse them. So when Ephesians tells us as husbands to wash and clean our wives with the water of God's word, here's what it's saying in a practical way. Stop putting so much focus and emphasis on what she's not. Stop putting so much focus and emphasis on the things that she's still growing in and trying to do well. Stop putting so much emphasis on what you thought and what you wish and what you want and what somebody else's, you know, spouse or somebody else's mom. Stop putting emphasis there and begin to come back and put your emphasis in what God's word said about her. Begin to speak words over her and speak words to her that will line up with what God's promised he's doing in her life, with what God wants to grow up and strengthen and put back into alignment if necessary. But begin to talk to her the way God does, the way that he sees them. Listen, here's what I can promise you, not just based on my study, but based on my pastoral experience and based on my experience as a husband. To the degree that you will do that, if you will literally obey God's word and do that, you will watch in front of your eyes God's word, God's truth, begin to wash away insecurities, begin to wash away disappointments, begin to wash away hurts and misunderstandings, begin to wash away all of those things that life creates that weren't supposed to be there, but they are. God's word gives us a chance to wash all of that. And let me tell you why that's so important, because I've been in the world long enough and I've talked to people deep enough to understand every mom wrestles with insecurity and guilt at some point or another. They're dealing with lives, and they're connected from the heart in a way that I don't know that any of us guys can understand. But they love these children with everything they've got, and their heart aches for their children to be happy and to be fulfilled and to be successful and to be everything God wants them to be. And they're constantly being asked this question with this voice in the back of their head: am I doing it right? Am I doing it enough? Did I discipline too much, or am I not supporting enough, or should I step in, or should I back off? And they're constantly asking those kinds of questions. Listen carefully. They need to be built up. They need to be reassured. They need to be encouraged by the word of God. It's the only thing that's going to do it. The only thing that's going to set our lenses right so we can continually be speaking life over them and allowing them to experience the blessing. So the number one thing that you have to do in any situation and on a regular basis is you need to begin with a spiritual bath, a soothing bath. Here's number two. Number two, you have to apply supernatural moisturizer. Supernatural moisturizer. Yeah, some of you guys are chuckling. I know I did too when I wrote these down, but it's... it's good stuff. And this is biblical stuff. Listen to this. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 says this: words kill and words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. Now that's really, really important, right? Because sometimes we believe the old adage, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me, more than we do the Bible. But the truth is, words can devastate people. Absolutely. I can think of just a collection of a couple of words that are life-changing words whenever they say them. I know I stood on an altar much like this one day next to Debbie, and I said two words and my life changed forever. I do. Never been the same. I'm telling you, never been the same. I've counseled people that just a few words collected reversed that sacred commitment, and they called me and crying and saying, "Pastor, my spouse just said I want a divorce." Devastating. They're just words, right? Words can never hurt us. Oh, that's not true. Bible tells us that death and life we hold in the power of our words. And we get to choose whatever words we're giving. Are we bringing life to any situation, or are we just bringing more pain and more destruction to the point that sometimes we can say the final words and it puts the final nail in the coffin and something dies? How about Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1 says this: a soft or a gentle answer turns away wrath, but grievous, other translations say harsh or abrasive words, stirs up anger. One translation said it just makes it worse. And if we can begin to understand the power of our words and how we can come and we can exacerbate a situation and make it so much worse just because we get caught up in the emotion and we're not thinking soberly, venting what we feel. We're venting what we can see practically, and we're not thinking about what the Bible says we can do. Rather than a soft answer, turning a situation around, we just add fuel to the fire, and you say something that hurts her, and then she says something back that hurts you, and the hurt just begins to be exchanged until finally what was, should could have been just a little tiny disagreement all of a sudden becomes a bloodbath of emotions. This happens all the time. But the Bible says, just like when we're dealing with bruised or lacerations, or we're dealing with dry and sensitive skin, it needs something to soothe. It needs to be moisturized, and our heart needs to be moisturized as well. And the way we do this, listen, is not just speaking the right words, but it's learning to speak the right words at the right time and for the right reasons. In fact, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 is talking about what the family of God looks like. And it draws this hinge, and it says, we will grow up and we will function exactly the way God planned for us to the degree that we will learn to speak the truth in love. And that's very important that you hear that whole thing. It sounds simple, but it's a skill that we learn to develop the older we get and the more we lean in and we ask God to help us put the law of kindness on our tongue. Give us those gracious words of wisdom to know what to say and when they say them. Because speaking the truth is one thing, but to do it in love, which means at the right time and in the right way and for the right reason. Well, it had to be said. No, it didn't. Well, somebody's got to say the truth, yeah, but in love. For the right reason, at the right time, and using the right method, because we can do more damage trying to clean something up. We can do more damage than we possibly realize, but the Bible tells us that what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to be moisturizing and bringing life and bringing a soft one. It never says we don't deal with the issues in truth and integrity. We always do, but we do it measured. We do it intentionally. We do it in a way that's not going to bring more harm, but that's going to be building people up and allowing them to experience God's plan. Now, let me just pause before I give you number three, because I've been pastoring a long enough to know that there's some people, could be some people here, probably is some people here. You say, okay, PG, I get all that, and that those principles are making sense to me, and yeah, I need to do better in that stuff, but let's just be really super honest. Sounds like you're talking to people that already, have some kind of a healthy structure going on. Whether that's husband or wife, or whether they're growing up experience and the relationship with their mom, sounds like you're talking about somebody who's got some things going on and this is just how to make it better. I'm not that person. My growing up years was really, really tough. It was really painful. It left me scarred. I've got a lot of abuse, and I still don't have a relationship with my mom. In fact, maybe not at all, or it's very, very strained. How in the world am I supposed to respond? Let me just give you a Bible truism, not quoting a scripture, but I heard it this way, and it marked me forever. Sometimes you honor people because they're honorable. And sometimes you honor people because you're honorable. I want to say it again, okay? Sometimes you honor people because they're honorable. And other times you honor people because you're honorable. As Christians, we hold the keys of life and healing in our hands. They're locked up in our words. They're locked in our gestures. And I know that sometimes that means you have to make the first step. But isn't that exactly what Christ did for us and what he taught us that we're supposed to do? That we step out and we honor those broken relationships in spite of the fact that we have all of these questions and all of these things that we'd like to go back and undo or redo them. We draw a line and we say, okay, from this point on, with your help, I'm going to begin to speak words that will bring resurrection life, that will bring healing and restoration, and I'm going to watch over a period of time, if necessary, the devil take something that was meant, or God take something that was meant for evil and watch him turn it around and begin to sprout something new again. So all of these things apply to you. In fact, from some angles, they apply to you especially, that you begin to make a turn and that you begin to use the words of God and use your own words to reseed the ground so that you can experience what God has. Here's number three, and we'll end it here. Number three, compliment her divine perfume. compliment her divine perfume. Here's what I mean by that. Let me start with Song of Solomon, chapter 4, and I'm just going to grab half of two verses. I don't normally do that, but I'm going to, in this occasion, Song of Solomon, he's writing, "Your perfume is more fragrant than spices, and your clothes are scented like the cedars of Lebanon." Now, in this particular passage, scholars agree that Solomon is writing about these fragrances that whenever he catches a whiff of them, they remind him of how much he loves his betrothed, and all of this flood of emotion comes up and just, you know, makes him want to be with her and see her even more. It's funny because it picks up the idea of fragrances and the Bible, and we see that sprinkled all the way through the Old Testament and the New Testament, and how the fragrance of a submitted heart, the fragrance not of a perfect heart, but the fragrance of an honest heart, of a humble heart, of someone who's not just playing, but someone who really does lean into a relationship, those fragrances, the Bible says, comes before the Lord and he catches a whiff. And the Bible says that they remind him of just how much he loves you, of just how much he wants to partner with you in life and of the things that he has planned for you. In fact, let me just read you one of those instances in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. It says, "As far as God is concerned, there's a sweet and a wholesome fragrance in our life. It's the fragrance of Christ within us. Christ within us, an aroma to both the saved and the unsaved all around us." Let me go back to that, those few little words. It's the fragrance of Christ within us. And I want you to really hear what the Bible's trying to get across. It's not just the fragrance of Christ. It's not just all that he represents. And every time the Heavenly Father catches a whiff of the life that Christ came and brought to all of us, it's not just how much it reminds him of how much he loves his Son, but it's Christ within, or let me say it this way, it's Christ in us. It's the fragrances of our life blending with the fragrances of salvation and resurrection that now is part of us because of what Jesus did. And all those individual giftings, all those things that make you unique, remind the Heavenly Father of Psalm 139 when he wove you together in your mother's womb, and before the foundations of the world, he spoke your life into existence. He detailed his plan for you. The Bible says he thinks about you day and night. In fact, even the sands of the sea can't capture how often and how much he's thinking about you. But when he smells your fragrance, your uniqueness mingled with the uniqueness of the Son Jesus Christ, boy, God just inhales real big and he just says, "Man, I love those guys. Man, I want to be part of their life." And it's really important that we begin to understand that we're not just loving our wife and loving our mom just because they're our wife and our mom. There's something very unique that they bring to our family. And when we begin to realize that, we wouldn't be us without them. And we can stand like they did in Proverbs and say, "You're the best." I'm not trying to be disingenuous and say, you know, you really are the best of all the women in the world. You would score the highest. I don't even think that's an accurate measurement. But I can tell you this for sure. You're the best for me. You're the best for this family. You bring to the table all those things that God is coming through you. And we wouldn't be what we are without you. We wouldn't have the future we have if you weren't in it. And we love and appreciate you for that. This is what the Bible tells us to do. One more scripture and we're going to close this in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Now, this old apostle of God is talking to husbands. And here's what he tells the husbands. He says, "You need to understand that you and your wife are heirs together in the grace of life." He doesn't say it, but the implication in these family relationships is the family structure benefits when husband and wife understand that they share in the grace of God's life together. But here's what he says to the husband. He gives him charge. He says, "Dwell with your wife according to knowledge." And here's what he means by that. Don't just be generic about your relationship. Don't just be generic about how you do things. Don't just, you know, "I'm going to get the Mother's Day card and I'm going to get the flowers because, you know, the old lady, if I don't do that." And it's like, don't ever do that. And if you have, listen to me, You need to not only repent to whoever that person is that heard you, but you need to repent to the Lord on the inside. Because the Bible says this is not a generic thing. It says if you will lean in and you'll begin to learn something, some things about your wife. Sometimes you need more than just a natural perspective. You're going to need the Holy Spirit to open your eyes and say, I don't get it. I don't know what to do. I don't understand, but you made her. You do. Help me. Don't, teenagers and kids here, don't listen to the communication gap. Well, that's just another generation. Listen to me. That's just not true. Your parents love you. Your mom's laying down everything she can for you. There are sacrifices she's making that you'll never understand. Never. And don't ever buy into that. Well, we just don't communicate. Well, then ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Ask him to help you to understand what's mom and dad trying to get across. What is she trying to say? And how can I approach her to open this thing up so we can discuss it? Because this is what the Bible's telling us. We recognize their uniqueness. Children, dads, husbands, we ought to be looking at mom and we ought to know what she likes and what she doesn't like. We ought to know what she's passionate about and what she's not. We ought to know what just lights her up and just fills her tank. And if we miss something, we ought to know that's going to devastate her. Yeah, but it's not a big deal. It is to her. And that's what the Bible says. The more we can lean in and make this personal, and we can allow this relationship to be infused by the life of God, the more we recognize the fragrance that she brings into the home, and we complement that, and we resource that, then the Bible says that we all of a sudden begin to experience something that's not just natural. There's a supernatural grace that you may not even fully appreciate for years and years, maybe into the next generation. And you look back and you think, wow, my mom she'll be 86 years old this coming November. And she'll be the first to tell you, of all the boys, her and I, boy, we had a really interesting relationship. I went through a period that I was absolutely right and mom just couldn't seem to get through to me, at least not face to face. And so mom went to a tactic that was just not fighting fair. She prayed. And it worked. And now I have such a precious relationship with my mom. I'll say this because my two brothers can't hear me, but I'm completely her favorite. There's no question about that. But I talk to her at least once a week, sometimes a couple times a week, and those conversations aren't brief because I want to know everything that's going on in her life. And she lives 2,600 miles away in Southern California. I'm going to get to see her in a couple weeks, and I'm looking forward to that. But I can tell you that even though I didn't understand things then, looking backwards, I would not be the husband, I would not be the dad, I would not be the Christ follower, I certainly wouldn't be the pastor if it wasn't for the prayers of my mom and dad. But I think mom was a little more tenacious, and she just hung in there and wouldn't let it go. And so I'm going to call her later on today, and I'm going to tell her just how blessed I am. And I hope you'll do the same. Here's the part where I'm going to ask all of you who are moms if you would stand to your feet. Now, again, that's moms with children. That's moms who stepped into the role of a mom, moms who might be estranged from their kids, or those of you that are pregnant with a promise of God and you're believing God for your family one day. Would you all stand to your feet this morning? I get pretty emotional, not just because it's a holiday, but because this is a vanishing breed. Our world is thinning out. Our culture is fractured, not understanding the importance of ladies that would commit themselves for long stretches of time, some for a lifetime, to invest into others so that the legacies and the generations can move on. And from the bottom of my heart, I know I'm speaking from all of our pastors and our staff, we honor you today. We really honor you today. I'm going to ask for those of you that came with these very special ladies today, if you would stand to your feet. And I want you to do this. I want you to make sure that your arm is around them, your hands on them. If you can't reach them, stretch towards them. And by the way, for those of you that are in the vicinity, I was going to call you up. I didn't forget. I was going to call you up. For those of you that are in the vicinity, we don't let anybody stand alone. So if there are moms that are standing here and for some reason they weren't able to have their family, then make sure those moms have their arms around them too. Now, here's what we're going to do in just a moment, and then it seems like Debbie has something that she wants to share, and I want you to do that.
I do.
So, well, go ahead, do it now.
I just invited myself up because I wanted to personally wish all of you moms a happy Mother's Day. The Lord put you on my heart the beginning of last week, and I was praying and thinking about you this morning while I was getting ready for church. And I really feel like the Lord impressed on my heart this encouragement, and it's really for everybody in this room, but specifically for you moms. God loves you.
Yes, He does.
I know your family and your friends, they love you and they appreciate you, but I want you to know how much God is mindful of the season that you're in, this season in life right now today. And that His thoughts for you, like you mentioned so many wonderful things, that His thoughts for you literally cannot compare or number with the grains of sands. But He's mindful of every single thing that you're going through right now today in this season in life. And I really believe that the Lord, there's an extra measure of grace and provision for you in this season. God loves you. He's mindful not only of your season, but He's mindful of you. He thinks about you and He knows you. And I just pray that today that the Lord, by His Holy Spirit, reminds you of that, of how much you're loved, how much you mean to Him on a very personal level. When I say this, I know we hear this all the time in church and other people tell us God loves you, but God really loves you. He really loves you. And He knows exactly what's going on in your That's life right. today. And I pray that He reminds you of that and He fills you up and refreshes your heart today that you know how much that you are so loved.
That's right. Stay up here. Stay up here. In fact, can I have the rest of my family on the front row come on up? And Dorothy, I didn't tell you I was going to do this because you would have forbid me, but come on up anyway. You'll have to forgive me. Dorothy is Debbie's mom. Because what I'm about to ask you guys to do, I want us to do it too. I don't want to just instruct and watch, but I want to participate this morning. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to take that Proverbs, those six verses or five verses that we read, and we're going to turn them, make them personal now. They'll be on the screen. And we're not just going to read a passage of Scripture. We're going to declare the words of the Lord over that mom that you are surrounding. Now, for some of you, you do this all the time, and for others, like, this is really weird. I'm going to do it because it's Mother's Day, but this is really weird. Listen to me. It's not weird. It's not. It's normal. We should be finding times to break through the shallow, surface-level approach to relationships that the world's pushing on us. And we should find those times with shaky voices and tears in our eyes of saying those things that need to be said that are deeper because they need to be said and the person needs to hear them. And so, pardon the metaphor, but I'm literally going to ask you to help me to birth a moment. And here's what's going to happen. As we begin to read, the Holy Spirit's going to step right in the middle of that circle because He cares. And there's going to be a soberness of heart, a tenderness that literally will just enshroud you. And I'm encouraging you that as we're reading these words, listen to me, if there's anything in between any of those relationships, I don't care whether it's been, you know, for months ago or it just happened this morning in the car on the way to church. Listen, when the soberness and the tenderness of God is there, now's the time to fix it. And after we get done reading, I want there to be lots of hugs and I want there to be extended and added words and prayers of personal compliments. But listen to me, if you've got something in your relationship or if you're estranged from your mom and you need to pray, you know, with your family to say, would you ask the Lord to heal me and help me? We don't ever want to take these moments lightly. They don't come often. And when they come, we have to honor and we have to recognize God's doing something very special. So as we begin to say these words, I'm telling you what's going to happen. You're going to sense that tenderness and sobriety. Some of your voices are going to quiver and you're going to wipe tears away. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. So don't let that moment just be this little setup, but let it be real afterwards and apologize if you have to. Ask for forgiveness. Pray that the Lord would help you to start over again. By the way, last thing I'll add, some of you are going to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit saying, what about me? and today's your day to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, or today's your day to recommit, because he loves you. He has a great plan for you, but it all starts in a relationship with him. All right? Turn your attention to the screen. Here comes Proverbs chapter 31. You'll notice the first bracket says insert name. If you're a husband, say your wife's name. If you're one of the children, then just say mom, but we're going to make this personal, right? So everybody begin together and go ahead and say their name right now. And here we go. You are clothed with strength and dignity and laugh without fear of the future. When you speak, your words are wise and you give instruction with kindness. You carefully watch everything in your household. Therefore, your children will stand and bless you, and your husband will praise you. They will say to you, there are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty does not last. But you are a woman who fears the Lord, and because you do, you will be greatly praised. Now go ahead and finish that off with lots of hugs. Come on, turn to them and say some things that are personal. Tell them how much you love them and appreciate them today. Heavenly Father, I thank you for what you've began today in all of these relationships. And Holy Spirit, I'm asking that you would help each of us as individuals and as family circles to not let this be the only time. Lord, don't let us do a holiday and then walk back into some other routine. Would you birth something in us right now that changes us forever, that draws us closer, that mends hurts and fills in all the disappointments and gives us a new hope and a new ability to step to another level, a deeper level in our relationships. Lord, I pray that all of you that are hearing from the Holy Spirit and he's drawing you back, Holy Spirit, I pray that you give them courage today to surrender their life to you afresh, to surrender all of the pain and all of the hurt to you, and to let you rebuild something that you had in mind. As you do, we promise we'll follow you and we'll make sure you get all the credit. In Jesus' name.
Again for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for more messages. If you like what you're hearing, share it with your friends. For more content from Lakeshore and information on services, check us out at lakeshorecf.com.